Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Innova Capcoz Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ayush Kumar Garg, Head IR. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Saisha. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings call today to review the operational and financial performance for Q4 and FY25. We have with us Mr. Vinay Lohariwala, Managing Director, Mr. Lokesh Bhasin, Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. We trust that you have had a chance to review the financial results and investor presentation, which have been made available on the stock exchanges as well as on the company website. With that, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Vinay for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ayush. Good morning, and thank you all for joining us on today's earnings call. Let me begin by saying that I am pleased with the way Innova Capcoz has performed throughout the year. We closed FY25 with total revenue of rupees 1,244 crore, delivering strong growth of 15%. For Q4, revenue stood at 315 crore, reflecting a robust year-on-year growth of 20%. A major milestone for us this quarter was the launch of commercial production at our new facility in Kathua, Jammu. I would like to make a moment to extend my sincere gratitude to the entire execution team, whose dedication was instrumental in bringing the critical project to successful completion. Their relentless efforts, coordination, and commitment to excellence played a key role in ensuring that we met our goals on time and to the highest standards. We have started offering new products and dosage forms from this plant, and the initial traction has been encouraging. This gives us added confidence in the long-term potential of this facility. Let me now take you through the performance highlights across each of our business areas. CDMO business. Our CDMO business made significant strides this year. We expanded our client base to over 200 customers, which includes some of the largest players in the Indian pharmaceutical market. Our product portfolio has grown from 2,900-plus products last year to over 3,300 this year, a clear testimony to our commitment to quality, innovation, and customer centricity. The business recorded a year-on-year growth of 12% in Q4 and 6% for the full year. Going forward, our strategy will center on acquiring new clients while also increasing wallet share from our existing partners. New product and dosage form launches from the Kathua plant are expected to further accelerate our growth in this area. Domestic branded generic. Our domestic branded generic business delivered a stellar performance with year-on-year growth of 30% in Q4 and 21% in full year. We continue to expand our distribution network, which now includes over 6,000 distributors, up from 5,000 last year. We also significantly enhanced our market reach, now touching more than 220,000 pharmacy and stockists compared to 150,000 in FY24. Our product offering in this business increased to over 750, up from 600 plus last year. Our focus in this area remains on supporting existing distributor retailer while engaging new partners and channels to boost market presence. International business. On the international front, Innova now has a presence in 30 plus countries, including regulated markets such as the UK and Canada. This presence was 25 plus countries last year. The business posted solid year-on-year growth of 47% in Q4 and 25% for the full year. Looking ahead, we will continue to expand our footprint in both regulated and semi-regulated market while also broadening our product offering to cater to diverse international demands. Seron Biomedicine. Seron closed this year with revenue of rupees 197 crore. Seron has a robust presence in regulated market and supplies both formulation and API to some of the most well-known pharmaceutical companies globally. We aligned strategic initiative and leveraging synergy with Innova Captive. Seron is well positioned for sustained growth and enhanced value creation in the year ahead. Our strategic initiative have started taking shape and we are well positioned to enter the next phase of our growth journey. The newly commissioned Kathua plant is set to unlock a broad spectrum of opportunity, expanding our product portfolio across business area, fostering new partnership and deepening engagement with existing clients through enhanced wallet share. We are already witnessing strong interest from our current and prospective partners, reaffirming the potential of this facility. Our commitment to innovation is equally reflected in our R&D infrastructure. Our dedicated laboratory and pilot scale manufacturing setup in Baddi, Himachal Pradesh is recognized by DSIR, Department of Science and Industrial Research. Further, our upcoming facility in Panchkula, Chandigarh will strengthen our capability with a focus on the development of complex generic and differentiated formulation, an important step in enhancing our innovation pipeline. With multiple growth levers in place, including capacity expansion, a broadening product base, deepening market penetration, and a robust R&D engine, we are confident in our ability to deliver long-term value to our all stakeholders. We are proud to the progress we have made and remain committed to executing our strategic roadmap with discipline and agility to drive sustainable growth across all verticals. Thank you once again for our continued support and trust in Innova Captive. I now hand over the call to Mr. Lokesh to take you through the financial performance in more detail.
Thank you, sir, and good morning, everyone. I will now take you through the financial highlights for quarter four and full year FY25. Quarter four FY25. Our consolidated revenue stood at 314.7 crores, registering year-on-year growth of almost 20%. CDMO clocked 154.8 crores of revenue with year-on-year growth of 12%, supported by sustained traction in existing products and the contribution that we got from our new Kathua Jammu facility. Domestic branded generic business delivered a robust growth of 30% to rupees 61.7 crores, fueled by expanded product portfolio and increased market penetration. International branded generic business delivered year-on-year growth of 47% to rupees 43.4 crores, driven by product and market expansion. Seron recorded a revenue of rupees 54.9 crores with year-on-year growth of 15%, which was chiefly volume-driven. We witnessed decent growth in our absolute EBITDA, which was rupees 51.1 crores vis-a-vis rupees 43.8 crores of previous year, previous quarter. Quarter 4 FY24, recording a growth of 17%. This was largely driven by improved gross conversion. The EBITDA margin for the quarter was 16.2%. The PAT rose by 3% year-on-year to 29.6 crore of quarter 4 25 PAT after absorbing the impact of depreciation and funding cost accruing from the Kathua Jammu plant, which was commercialized in January 2025. Consequently, PAT margin stood at 9.4%. On a full year FY25 basis, the total revenue from operations grew 15% at rupees 1,243.7 crores, led by volume growth across business areas. The business mix for the year was CDMO 53%, domestic generic business was 18%, international branded generics was 13%, and Seron contributed 16%. In absolute terms, business area-wise revenues for the financial year were CDMO rupees 659.9 crores, domestic generic business rupees 230.7 crores, international generic business rupees 156.3 crores and share on 196.8 crores. Coming to profitability, EBITDA registered stellar year-on-year growth of 19% to 198.2 crores, almost touching rupees 200 crores, owing to improved gross contribution. EBITDA margin also increased by 50 basis points to 15.9%. The PAT witnessed robust growth of 36% to rupees 128.3 crores, mainly driven by higher EBITDA, coupled with reduced finance costs. PAT margins improved by 160 basis points to 10.3%. Our balance sheet has also shown continued resilience, with the strategic decision taken over last few years now being in execution. We believe our performance metrics will further improve in coming years. With this, we would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and congrats to the management on good set of numbers. Sir, I have a first question on the Jammu plant. Is it possible to give how much it was the contribution for this quarter and any change in guidance for the next year for the revenues coming in from Jammu plant?
Hi, good morning, Amit. During the quarter four FY25, see, our Jammu plant start commercialized operation from 14th of January 2025. And for this quarter 4-25, Jammu plant contributed a revenue of around 36 crores. And coming to the next question, so as of now, we maintain our guidance of that Jammu plant is poised to achieve a revenue of around 400 crores for this financial year FY26.
Okay. And second question I have is on the cash flow. This year, our operating cash has increased with more than double digit, but working capital has eroded the cash from, as in the cash from operation has gone down year on year. So any reason for the working capital increase, or do you expect it to normalize in the next year?
Yes, I mean, so you are right that this year our working capital investment has slightly increased. So there are major two reasons for it. Number one is increase in operations, and the working capital required to feed that increase in operations was invested. And at the same time, since Jammu has just started, so that initial working capital to start the plant was required. So we are hopeful that in coming times, though, this working capital will return back to the normal days.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. I will join that. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidit Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first question was on the Jammu plant. Because of the tensions going on in the state right now, are we seeing any impact on our operations up there currently?
So as you all are aware that there was a blackout in entire almost northwestern India, including the our actual location, say Chandigarh. So the tension was there, that facility near border. So there was some restlessness, but we have the full faith in our Indian Army and our government, and everything goes in a well mannered. And in future also, we have the full faith in our army and the government, and hopefully nothing wrong will happen.
Sure, but in the current quarter, we've just seen a couple of days of blackout and no major impact on operations as such.
So there was no shutdown in our facility for even a single day.
Okay.
So we work as usually. There was no hurdle to our facility.
Okay. Understood. My second one was, on the gross margin that we've seen improve both YOY and quarter-on-quarter. I think over the last couple of years, this is the highest ever gross margin that we've reported. So can you help us understand what is driving this improvement in gross margins and what could be the sustainable level going forward as well?
So Vijit, the gross margin improvement is mainly due to a couple of reasons, which is our operational efficiency, a better product mix, bearing the best optimum resources, optimum use of the resources that we are having. So these are the soft and the subjective reasons why our gross margins are increasing, coupled with the best product mix that we have here. And in coming times also, we estimate that this is going to maintain the same trajectory.
Okay. But when we talk about segmentally, would margins be similar across, let's say, Sharyn and the CDMO business, or in terms of gross margins, or would there be a big deviation in these?
So Vijit, we normally do not track gross margins and margin profile at our business areas level.
Okay. No, I mean, Sharyn is a separate entity itself, right? So that's why I was asking whether compared to, how would Sharyn's gross margins fare?
So yes, you're right. So if I talk about ICL manufacturing capability and Sharyn manufacturing capability, yes, Sharyn is having a slightly better gross margin, but they are having a different target market because they are majorly into regulated market in exports. So yes, they are having slightly better gross margin profile than ICL manufacturing capabilities.
Okay. And just the last one on Sharyn, you in your opening remarks mentioned that it's well positioned for growth and value creation going forward. If you could just shed some light on what are the management's plans with regards to driving growth in Sharyn and what geographies and products are likely to drive growth here. That's it from me. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So in Sharyn, we are currently, say, most of the revenue is coming from Europe and Canada or the other regulated market like Australia. And we will focus in Sharyn in all these markets. We are trying to expand the wallet share from the existing customer and the onboarding of the new customer in the regulated market.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering this. Best of luck, and I'll get back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Avnish from Vekraya. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just have a couple. Lokesh, for you, if we have to estimate, let's say, the volume growth in Baddi, which is ex-Jammu, and you said that Jammu contributed 36 crores. If I remove 36 crores from the standalone P&L, both from the top line and from the gross profit, it seems like the Baddi volume growth was around 12 to 13%. Is this calculation right, or is there some error in it?
So, see, if I talk about at a full year level, ICL growth was ex-Jammu was around 7% at a revenue from operation level.
No, I was more interested in the quarter for the fourth quarter.
Fair enough. Yeah. So if I talk about quarter four, if I exclude my ICL Jammu revenue part, so the growth was around 4 to 5% from year-on-year basis.
Yeah. That's the revenue. So I was looking at, if you remove the Jammu contribution
so
from
actually,
the gross profit.
So actually, I would just like to highlight that, we cannot see ICL Baddi operation in isolation. As we briefed earlier in our previous calls also, that there is certain level of cannibalization at initial level wherein we are moving our revenue from our existing CIFA facility in Baddi to our new coming facility in Jammu, which of Cepha block. So there is a certain element of cannibalization from Baddi to Jammu at an initial period itself. So that impact is also reflected in our ICL Baddi operation, if you see it in standalone. But as I submitted, it cannot be seen in isolation per se.
Okay, understood. If we look at, let's say, when you guide for 400 crore revenue from Jammu, that is over and top of the non-Jammu revenues that we closed on this year, right? So your non-Jammu revenues this year were close to about 1,208 crore. What kind of growth can we expect in this? And then is 400 crore over and top of that?
So, you are right. So out of my 1,244 crore, my non-Jammu was around 1,208 crore. Yes. So, the way I look at it, we are maintaining that we should be growing in early teens for our existing facilities.
Okay.
Plus, over and above the revenue that we'll get from Jammu plant.
That's right. So if you assume, like about, let's say, early teens for ex-Jammu business and the 400 crore over and above that, that's how we should understand it.
True.
Okay. Last question from my side. How was the GST benefit accounted in this quarter? I mean, the benefit is in gross profit or in the other income. Can you please help us understand that?
Yes. So, the way we accounted for with the blessings of statutory auditors, if we have recorded our GST benefit as other operating income as a part of revenue from operations.
Understood. This is very clear. Thanks. Thanks, Lokesh. Thanks, Vinay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Saket from Sagri Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. So, sir, my first question is pertaining to the CDMO segment. So it has shown around 6% of growth. So can you help me break up this into volume and, say, price growth terms?
So, my major revenue growth for CDMO business or for a manufacturing capability business is mainly driven by volume growth.
What would be that, sir? Because I think we have seen that API prices have been downtrending. So was it like, you know, there was price degrowth as well, or what was the breakup?
See, if I talk about a year-on-year basis, rather, I would like to emphasize that, if I see my growth at a volume level, I would like to see at a manufacturing capability level instead of a business area level. So on a full year level, we have got a volume growth of around 7%-8%, and which is synonymous with the growth that we have recorded at our ICL manufacturing capability level. So whatever price impact was there, so due to product mix and other variable reasons during the year, it has been knocked off. There may be a slightly variation of 1% or 2%, but on a majorly, it is driven by volume growth.
Okay. Thanks for confirming this. So, on top of that, your domestic branded business generics has also done quite well. Now, at 21%, so how do you break that up into, say, typical, you know, IPM drivers? Like, how much was NI contributing, how much was price growth, and how much was volume growth?
Majorly the volume. So, even in domestic branded generics, the major growth has driven by our volumes through new products and penetrating into new markets or getting deep into our existing markets.
Okay. And sir, what would be the guidance for domestic branded generic business, say, for the coming up? Because it would, say, behave slightly differently from the typical manufacturing business, right? So any different color or growth number that you might have want to share on this for this segment?
So, the way we see it, it should be in the line with overall company growth itself.
Okay, so which is mid-teens that you said, right? 12-13%, is that the fair one, non-Jammu that you just mentioned, is it?
See, when I see Jammu, see, there are two, I would just like to explain on that part. See, business area is my front end, which drives my sales. At the same time, Jammu is a manufacturing capability. So my manufacturing capability of Baddi as well as Jammu feeds my all three business areas, which is CDMO, domestic branded generics, and international branded generics. So the way my Baddi manufacturing capability is working to feed all these three front-end business areas, the same way Jammu is also coming up and it will feed my all three business areas. Either it's CDMO, domestic branded generics, or international branded generics.
Got it. So, sir, for domestic branded generics, you don't source anything from outside because there might be some product where you may not have enough scale. So, is like 100% is insourced for both international as branded as well as domestic branded?
So, talking about domestic branded generics, yes, there is a certain element of items which normally Innova do not produce that we procure from our third party outside vendors. But that is not that much. It's hardly 20-25%.
Okay, got it. And sir, in terms of, say, just order of, say, profitability, so like, is it like, you know, Sharon would be the highest and then followed by branded generics and then CDMO would be the least profitable within these four segments? Is it a fair, say, order or how would that be?
Sir, as I submitted earlier also, normally we do not track business margins at our business areas level. But if I talk about at a gross margin of a manufacturing capability, yes, Sharon being in regulated market, they generate slightly better gross margins.
Okay, okay. So thanks, sir, for patiently responding and appreciate this and best of luck, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Miten Lathaya from Fractal Capital Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Three questions on Jammu. While you recognize the GST benefit as other operating income, could you clarify if it is an amount that is paid and then claimed as refund, or doesn't need to be paid at all, it directly is accounted for as income? Second, our current mix on the CDMO side is, I understand that it's around 50-50. Why have you chosen to increase the mix of acute at the Jammu facility? If you could spend a couple of minutes to thought process around that. And number three, you guided for about 400 crores of incremental revenue from Jammu in FY26. If you could help us understand, how is it that you have that visibility of that revenue?
Sir, answering to your question number one, so the way this GST incentive works is that we pay and we take the input credit of GST as per normal business practice, the way it is done for other manufacturing areas. But as we are supported by a central government scheme, so whatever GST that we have paid on our total domestic sales, at the end of the quarter, we will file a separate refund return to central government to claim that incentive back from central government. So these are two processes. Number one is the normal GST process will remain same as and at the other business, other geographical location for a manufacturing business. Added step is that whatever GST that we have paid on sales invoices of domestic sales, we will file the refund return to central government at a quarter end. Hope this satisfies your question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
So, so the second question regarding that the selection of product and facility. So, in Baddi, say we are already into the general facility and cephalosporin facility, and this is extension of our product basket in the category of the other antibiotic like beta lactam and penem, and then a general category of LVP, Respulse is there, and then the waterfall injection. So the strategic decision is taken based on the requirement in the market and our present capability.
Fair, sir. And the third bit on the visibility around the 400 crore number.
So, as on date, we are very much confident that this number is achievable. And being four facility, so say, if we say like 400 crore, sometimes it look quite aggressive. But if we divide in the four plant, so say it's not one facility, but there are four block, so it's like 100 crore. And if each quarter, if we see, then it come out to be, let's say, 25 crore each block. So then the number becomes smaller. So, the number is given on the fair assessment and estimation, and that's why we are giving that number, and we are very confident to achieve that.
Sure, sir. I had a couple more. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Devesh Thakur from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sir. So, I guess, the last, second last quarter, you have guided for 2,500 crore of revenue in next 3 years. So are we still on that? Are we confident on that?
Yes, Devesh. So, where we see over long term, we are very much confident we should be maintaining the CAGR of 25% revenue growth over next 3 years.
Okay. Okay, sir. And, sir, my next question is regarding, as and when we utilize our Jammu plant more better, so our margins, and even the GST incentive that we have, our margin getting better in next 3 years to, I guess, 17%. Is that right, sir?
So while we will not like to comment on the number, exact number, but yes, by increase of operations, getting benefit of operating leverage, the GST benefit, our operation efficiencies coming due to economies of scale and getting new products, yes, the margin is bound to increase.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Vidit Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. But just one clarification, sir. This 400 crore number that you've guided from Jammu, does that include the GST benefit? And if so, how much would that?
Yes. So, when we say the number, yes, normally, as it is a part of our other operating revenue, that GST number is included in our overall 400 crore as of now.
Would you be able to quantify that number, sir?
Sir, it should be in the range of 30-35 crores.
Okay. Understood. And the 36 crores of revenue that we did this in 4Q, what level are we breaking even at? Are we breaking even yet in Jammu?
Sir, can you please repeat your question? You were not audible. Sorry.
What level of operations would you break even at Jammu?
Okay. I think we should be EBITDA positive, EBITDA neutral, sorry, EBITDA neutral by around sale of 50-55 crores.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Just one or two quick clarifications. Can you help us understand the API pricing scenario as of now? I think so there was some related question as well earlier. Most of the CDMO growth is volume pertaining to volumes, but just from a fourth quarter perspective, if you could help us understand at a broader scale and as things stand today, at least from an API pricing perspective, how things are, and anything specifically from a cephalosporin perspective.
So, but then, sorry. Hi, Harsh. So, if I talk about quarter four and as of now status, at a broad level, at a weighted average level, I think more or less the prices are more or less at a flat level. So there may be some prices up and down, but if I see from a company's perspective, they are not having just as much impact as of now at the current level.
Sure. And anything incrementally from cephalosporins or?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Pricing in terms of the cephalosporin as well, they are also broadly consistent on a quarter-on-quarter basis or anything incremental?
So in cephalosporin, there is slight, the prices are slightly lower side as well as in the beta-lactam. But overall, if we see, it is one thing is that it is difficult to measure, and overall, we see that there are few areas where the price has been increased, and there are few areas where the price has decreased.
Sure. And lastly, from an FY25 perspective, CDMO is somewhere around 6%-7% growth rate. So what would be the volume number on a broader basis for this entire year? I mean, I understand there will be new introductions and pricing, but just that volume number, would it be a double-digit volume number, early teens, mid-teens volume number?
You're talking about volume growth? Harsh, are you talking about volume growth?
Yes, sir. Volume growth for FY25 for the CDMO business. Overall reported number is 6%-7% growth for FY25. What would be the volume growth number? Would it be like close to high single digits or low double digits?
It's slightly better than the reported number growth. So that's why we are saying that for the full year, the price impact is flat. So it's just not only the function of the price growth. Once we capture the volume versus average price, so then the product mix change is also a factor.
Okay, so broadly we should work with a similar number for the volume growth as well as compared to the reported.
Yes, yes. So better than the price, better than the value growth, but volume growth is like 1 or 2 percentage points better.
Okay. Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amey Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me opportunity again. I just had one question on the upcoming R&D facility in Panchkula, Haryana. It says that we would like to develop generic and complex generic products, and some of the products are like immediate release, super bioavailability capsules, nano size formulations, etc. So what are the markets are we going to target with these products?
So, Amey, as you know that at Saron, we are working in the regulated market space. And the thing was that in Saron, as we don't have any independent R&D setup. So, where the Innova is helping, we are taking the regulated market project and developing at the Innova R&D, and then we are doing the exhibit batch at Saron to file in the regulated market. So one is that. The other one is that even we are open for the domestic market and the ROW market. So overall, the product, once the product is developed, it can be filed in the various market as per the requirement.
Right. So these will be our own IP products, even for regulated market, you mean to say?
Yes, yes. So in regulated market, there are the two type of business. One is the tech transfer. The other one is this one, where we have our own IP and own developed dossier. And then we have the commercialization.
But the commercialization will happen through partners, you mean to say, that we won't be doing it on our own.
Yes, yes. So the we have the, we choose them or the, we collaborate with the partner, then the filing is being done. After that, once the required approvals is received, then we can do the commercialization.
Sure.
After acquiring the Theron, we have done like a few of the products from the Theron to the regulated market on this theme only.
Right. And is there supposed to be any impact on overall company margins on increased spend on this R&D facility?
So let's say it helps in the incremental business, but being say at a 1,200 crore in future, let's say if we reach towards 2,500 crore, then these business is like 50 crore, 100 crore, will have the less impact on the overall margin.
Got it. So you don't expect immediate impact. Maybe once the scale is there on the top line, then the impact would be negligible, what you mean.
Yes. So overall, our strategy is to efficiently, effectively use our manufacturing facility with a more value-added product in a regulated and semi-regulated market. So our R&D facility will help in achieving that.
Right. So thank you so much. I will join back with you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Miten Lathia from Fractal Capital Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, sir, again. Just one question on Sharon. You know, while you've said that in regulated markets you want to broaden the customer base, but we've had almost 4 years of flat revenue at Sharon. So is the current product portfolio something that can drive a 3-year, you know, sort of growth outlook? Or if you can sort of spell out what you are thinking about that business over the next 3 years or so.
Yes. So as you are aware that Theron being in CIRP, there were no new initiation, new steps has been taken. Once we integrate one and half year, one and I think June 1.5 year back,
yes.
Then we start taking new projects and all that. So that will mature in the coming quarters and coming year, as there is a long lead time for long gestation time for in a regulated market. So we see that all positivity should reflect in this upcoming year.
Okay. Just to be clear, you are saying that in these two existing markets of Europe and Canada, you want to deepen the relationship with the existing customers by offering them more products. Is that what you had mentioned earlier or
yes,
no?
Yes.
I got it.
Yes. So onboarding of the new customer as well as onboarding of new product with the existing customers. Or let's say we used to do 4 years, 5 years back, revival of that business is also the part of strategy in Theron.
So they have actually lost products within customers, or they've lost customers altogether in the last 4 years. Is that?
So let's put in this way, the company being in CIRP, there was some hurdle in acquiring the new business and all that. So once the Innova name is there, the customer is also having a good confidence, and all supply side hurdle has been removed. Right? So we are focusing on that business and doing our all efforts to revive and grow at a positive growth rate. And as you are saying, that is absolutely correct, that revenue is almost flat. But if you see the EBITDA and profit margin, that has been consolidated in a very good manner.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devesh Tatir from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. I just had one last question. Sir, I wanted to know what could be the run rate for depreciation going forward?
So over and above existing depreciation rate, the Jammu plant would be having a depreciation of around 24 to 25 crores per annum.
Okay. And our existing business will not have any such, or they will have depreciation?
The
they would continue the existing depletion rate. There may be certain maintenance capex, but the depletion rate would be in the same lines that they are having right now.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us for the earning call. We appreciate your time and showing interest. In case of any queries, you can get in touch with our investor relation team. We look forward to meeting all of you over the next call. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
On behalf of Innova Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.